Yo, what's going on? We are back to talk a little MMA news. It's TMP 236, I believe, and joined as always by your boy, Sweet Pappy Jones. What up, Pat?
Oh, Jake, we are just chilling. It is another terrific day over here, just maxing out. Looking forward to another weekend of some fun UFC cards. Man, it's fun. Just been a great summer full of action and ready for that trend to continue with another sweet card.
Yeah, UFC Hamburg broke a couple lame records for most decisions, but the next couple weekends are going to be fun. We're going to the Red Mile this Saturday, the Scotiabank Saddle Dome in Calgary, Alberta, where we got a real fun scrap between Dustin Poirier and Eddie Alvarez, and then we got UFC 227 around the corner. That's going to be chock full of a bunch of fun fights, including Dillashaw, Garbrandt 2. Are you kidding me? Johnson versus Cejudo. Are you kidding me? Going to be a lot of fun. A couple belts on the line at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California, August 4th. I don't know why I'm talking like Howard Cosell. But let's get back to the present day. Don't want to be looking ahead too much. But we will be dropping a UFC Calgary preview either this Thursday or Friday, so keep your eyes open for that. But now we're just focusing on recent bits of MMA news, specifically fight announcements, and we'll lead off with UFC Denver. I don't have that specific date in front of me. I believe it's November, though. A couple fights, including the main event set, we're going to have Frankie Edgar versus Chan Sung Jung, the Korean Zombie, a fight that, man, just screams fight of the night, screams two guys who are willing to throw shots and take shots too. This is going to be a really fun one, and actually I think is a very important kind of meter for both guys. You have Chan Sung Jung, who for various reasons of injury and military, I guess it's a mandatory thing in South Korea that you do military work. He hasn't been as active as he's wanted to be, so this will be a very good litmus test to see where he sits. And Frankie Edgar, you know, kind of been up and down, has been the bellwether kind of top three guy in his weight class, but got checked hard when he got TKO'd by Brian Ortega. Was able to get back in the win column against Cub Swanson, but this will be a test to see if he truly still is at the top of the division or is going to kind of sink down a couple spots. Love this fight. I don't know which way to lean. I'm going to say Zombie, because fuck it. He's he really looked impressive on his return. And, you know, I don't think he's, I think he's got the fight experience to where he, you know, his fight IQ is not in question, but he hasn't taken near amount the lumps that Frankie has. If you examine the last 5 or 6 years of their career. So for that reason, I guess I'm going to go with the Zombie.
TKZ by TKO, Jake. That's what it's going to be come November 9th, November 10th at the Pepsi Center in Denver. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know about that. I don't know what I was thinking.
Hot takes.
I don't know what's going on. But the Korean Zombie versus Frankie Edgar, that's going to be dank. I feel like I'm probably leaning a Korean Zombie early myself. I mean, he definitely looked fantastic in his comeback fight. Looked like he did not miss a step, and I think he'll be able to do it again. And hopefully he's feeling fresh in this one. Frankie Edgar, though, man, that is always just a tough nut to crack. And I mean, Frankie was putting it on Brian Ortega, too. He was hitting him with some good shots, hitting him hard early. But, man, Ortega just has some kind of jaw on him. And he weathered it, and Frankie just, you know, maybe got a little too close there. Man, we all saw what happened on that one. But be that as it may, I think, Frankie Edgar, still, I would not mind seeing a rematch between him and Ortega, and I would not mind seeing him fight anybody, really. And him versus Chan Sung Jung, I think that's just a fantastic style matchup. Both have great hands. Both have solid ground game. Frankie being more the wrestler style, Chan Sung Jung having some great Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Man, love this fight. Love this as the main event. Early, I think I got to go with Frankie Edgar. Maybe I'll change my tune the closer we get to November, but, I mean, you got to go with the answer. You always got to go with the answers.
And yeah, this fight will be November 10th, 2018, celebrating the 25th anniversary of the UFC. As you know, their first event took place November 12th, 1993. Another announced bout, which is just as fun. I mean, these will surely be competitors for Fight of the Night. Donald Cerrone versus Mike Perry. You got the Cowboy taking on Platinum. The lead up to this is going to be so fun. You have Donald Cerrone, who's always trying to like be buddy-buddy with his opponents, always smiling. But at the same time, if you get on his bad side, he can talk a lot of shit too. Like, there have been fights where he, you know, the animosity has certainly been there. I think back to that WEC rivalry he had with Jamie Varner. And we've seen a couple times the shit-talking kind of get into Donald's head. The Nate Diaz fight, obviously, coming to mind first and foremost. I think that this is the perfect fight for Donald Cerrone, stylistically. This is somebody who is flashy, has clout in the welterweight division, but Donald Cerrone is so technical a striker. He's going to be working angles, and I think his footwork and his fight IQ and his experience is leaps above Mike Perry. Mike Perry might be a little faster, a little stronger, a little more youthful, a little less miles on his engine, but I'm still going Donald Cerrone in this one, and I can't wait for the build-up, for the stare-downs. It's gonna be a great time. I'm really looking forward to this event, and so far we're 2 for 2 for great fights. So excited to see what other fights they stack up on this card, the 25th anniversary card going down in Denver.
Yeah, absolutely. Platinum versus the Cowboy, man, that's gonna be a scrap. They're definitely going to be pulling out all the stops. I would think it's got to be a slight advantage for Cerrone. I mean, of course, Colorado, he stays round in Colorado, so a little closer to home for him. But, man, I was real impressed with Mike Perry against Paul Felder. Just, you know, who knows if it's just the Jackson-Winklejohn connection there. But, you know, he definitely showed some great stuff in his fight, and I think I'm definitely looking at him a little differently than I was maybe against his in his last couple fights. Maybe there's a higher ceiling on Mike Perry than I might have previously thought. Man, this is going to be a fun fight, and I would hate to even just gauge off of one matchup, but I would dare say I feel like Mike Perry even has a little more momentum on his side right now. Just, I mean, he's a young buck on the come up. I don't know. Some say, hey, maybe he's a little bit like Cowboy was back in the day. I mean, Cowboy was training at Jackson-Winklejohn's for forever, ever since he was a young dude coming up in the game in the WEC and the beginning of his UFC days. Very interesting. Very interesting to see what's going to happen. I think right now, smart money's probably on Cerrone, but I'm not sleeping on Perry. I think my pick has a strong chance of changing again the closer we get to November 10th there.
And a week before that, November 3rd, we're going to have our annual MSG card. It seems like the UFC likes putting those November cards on at Madison Square Garden in New York City. This one likely will fill up quite a bit because they like to make that MSG card pretty big. But we have our first announced bout. I don't know if it'll be on the main card. I would guess that it would be, but you know, this could also be like a prelim headliner or something like that. Jacare Souza taking on David Branch, a fun little middleweight scrap. Jacare obviously trying to bounce back from a loss. A split decision loss to Kelvin Gastelum at 224. David Branch coming off a KO win against Thiago Santos. Both are pretty equally matched, I think, in the UFC middleweight division right now, ranking wise. You have Jacare at number 5 and Branch at number 7. Brunson at 6, Gastelum at 4, Weidman, Rockhold, and Romero at 3-2-1. So this is a nice little fight. You know, the winner jumps back into the top 5, and the loser has to deal with those beasts coming down the line at middleweight, including Paulo Costa, Israel Adesanya, and more. This will be a nice little test of metal wear there at middleweight. I think I'm going Jacare. Jacare, you know, he's getting older. He might be coming to the tail end of his career. David Branch, getting older himself, 36, very underrated. I mean, the guy has lost one time since 2012. And it was that fight against Luke Rockhold. Won every other fight, including a historic title reign in World Series of Fighting. And his two wins in the UFC have both been impressive against Christoph Jotko and Thiago Santos. Both of those guys, beasts. That being said, though, Jacare himself is a beast. And I think I'm leaning toward him at this UFC 230 scrap. What about you?
Jake, I have no clue. I'm finding this one really hard to call right now. Jacare, I mean, you know, maybe 18 months ago, I might have said Jacare very quickly without hesitation. Right now, though, man, it's. I mean, I don't think Jacare's lost a step necessarily. I mean, tough loss to the champion Robert Whittaker. But then besides from that, just a split decision with Kelvin Gastelum, split decision with Yoel Romero. You know, it depends on who you like in those fights, how you want to call those. And, you know, he could very well still have just as much shine on him now as he did before he fought Whittaker. But David Branch, you know, coming over, former World Series of Fighting 2 division champion there, making a pretty good account for himself. His only setback, that loss to Luke Rockhold, but he's been doing quite well in the UFC since then, and has definitely proven himself to be a worthy contender for sure. I think this will be a close fight with Jacare here, but I think Souza is going to get the job done here. That's definitely my early pick, especially in Brazil. Man, that's gonna be a tough trip for David Branch to make down there in enemy territory against Jacare. Man, I gotta go with him.
And a fight we got going down way earlier than those three November scraps. This will be UFC 228 in September. We got Carolina Kowalkiewicz taking on Jessica Andrade. This will be a pretty important fight for the women's strawweight division. You have both of them who only have a couple of black marks on their UFC record. Both lost in title fights to Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Jessica Andrade also losing back at, I think, UFC 191. Yeah, back in 2015 to Rocky Pennington. Those are only two losses going all the way back to 2015. Caroline Kowalkiewicz, only two losses on her entire record. that UFC title fight loss to Ioana Jędrzejczyk in 2016, and her next fight, a first-round submission loss to Claudia Gadelha. Two wins since versus Jody Esquibel and Felice Herrig. This will be close. I'm leaning Jessica Andrade, though. I just feel like in her performances, she's been a little more dominant. Stylistically, you know, Carolina could give her a little bit of trouble standing up. And if she does win this fight, she has that gambling chip of a win against the current champion, Thug Rose, back at UFC 201 in 2016. That strawweight title eliminator in Atlanta, Georgia. So yeah, if Carolina can win this fight, she would have a decent argument for a fight against Thug Rose. This very well could be a title eliminator fight. So, a lot on the line here at UFC 228, which I believe, yeah, will be at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, where I don't know if it's official or it was rumored or what, but we are going to see for sure Nico Montana versus Valentina Shevchenko. Shevchenko is going to mess her up. And it was rumored we'd also see Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes, but that is not confirmed yet. But get back to the fight at hand. Carolina versus Jessica Andrade. Who you got in that one?
Man, that is a... That's a very tough one. I mean, both these ladies, super well-rounded, both very tough, both had good fights with the former UFC 115-pound women's champion, Ioana Jędrzejczyk. And, man, both very tenacious, both very tough. I think early, I'm probably leaning towards... leaning towards Kovalkovic in this one, but I don't know. Jessica Andrade, she's next level. I've been super impressed with her as of late, and you know she's got such a strong grappling expertise. I think that's really going to be a big key in this fight. Would not be surprised to see her take it. Right off the top of my head, I'm saying Carolina Kovalkovic is going to take it, but. Again, subject to change. Both these ladies, fantastic.
Yeah, both up there at women's strawweight, and like I said, I wouldn't be that shocked if this ends up being a title fight. One last fight, I guess we'll get to that's not really confirmed yet, but there was a picture circulating of Vitor Belfort at the UFC main office shaking hands with Dana White, and in the background on this whiteboard you see this giant list of dates, fights, locations, gates for fights that have happened, and main events. And if you squint and look real closely, you see that Mark Hunt and Alexei Olenek are penciled in for the main event of that UFC Moscow fight card that they're putting on. Nothing yet, but if that fight were to happen, you know, you have Mark Hunt, who did get a TKO win against Derek Lewis that essentially saved his career after losing to Brock and Alistair. Since then, he got back in it at UFC 221 in February, lost to Curtis Blaydes. Alexei Olenek, on the other hand, is coming off a win against Junior Albini, but he also lost to Curtis Blaydes. They share the similar most recent loss, Curtis Blaydes defeating both of them by finish. Hard to pick against Mark Hunt just because he's such a... wild character. Alexei Olenek, really, you know, we have gotten to know him since 2014, and he's fought 7 times in the UFC, but he has a ton of fights on his record. 56-11-1, spent most of his time fighting around in Russia and Poland. He's 41 years old compared to Mark Hunt's 44. So we might be pushing records as far as big, you know, oldest combined age in a UFC fight. But I guess I'm going with Hunt in this one as my doorbell goes off. I don't know if The mic picked that up. But, Pat, who are you taking in this main event?
Oh, man, this is, you know, this is going to be a fun one. Mark Hunt, definitely one of my favorites of all time, ever since the Pride days. And Alexi Oleinik definitely has endeared himself to me with his performances in the UFC. Definitely very fun to watch. It seems like he's got great skills everywhere, striking and the ground. Very creative. Seems like he's just got a little bit of everything there. And Mark Hunt, of course, has shored up his ground game in the years past, and always legendary kickboxing and striking skills. Early, I'd say I'd probably have to give the advantage to Oleinik, just, you know, hometown, home country anyways, things like that. Mark Hunt, of course, is about as live a dog as it ever gets, and we are talking about the heavyweight division, 265 pounds. I mean, that definitely, you know, anything can happen with those gloves on, those little 4 ounces. And, you know, Mark Hunt has made a living for many years, basically his entire life, just knocking out dudes, and quite often dudes that are bigger than him. I want to say Oleinik's going to have a little bit of a size advantage on Mark Hunt here. That very well may help. Oof. Actually, you know what? Screw it. I'm not saying Oleinik early. I'm saying Hunt right now. Yeah, right now I'm saying Hunt. Man, going to be a good scrap, but I got to go with the Super Samoan, Mark Hunt.
And you got a little time to change your mind if you want. That'll be September 15th. In Moscow, Russia, a very important event, the UFC's first trip over to the motherland. And I believe that's all the breaking fight news, fight announcements we got. Like I said, we'll be back in a couple days to preview this fun UFC Calgary card, headlined by Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier. It's going to be a bunch of fun, a lot of bangers on that one. Pat, any last words before we put a bow on it, ship it out to the people?
Oh, Jake, always a pleasure. Love bringing him the hot news, the hot takes. Yes, we will be back ready to break down the Alvarez Poirier 2 card. Very jacked up for that. Jacked up to break it down with you. Sending those thoughts and prayers. Tons of love out to Ramses. Always sending our thoughts and prayers out to Josh, Mr. Josh Webb as well. Wishing the best for you, gents. Speedy recovery.
That's right. Our buddies Josh, Ramses, and, you know, for that sake, anyone who is listening to the podcast going through some personal issues of their own, whether it be themselves or family or friends, we're sending positive vibes out to the whole MMA podcast community. You are listening, so you're a part of this weird small family we got going. And you know what? We love the shit out of each and every one of y'all. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon with a UFC Calgary preview. But until then, we are not gone. Actually, there's a few interesting developments going on since Pat and I wrapped this show up just less than 48 hours ago. UFC 230, it looks like, might have a couple middleweight bouts added to it. One fight being extremely particularly interesting as far as title elimination goes. Chris Weidman taking on Luke Rockhold at UFC 230 at MSG. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the possibility, although now there has been some shade put on it, between Yoel Romero and Paulo Costa. This, another huge fight, although apparently the Romero camp has sent some, you know, disapproving tweets saying that Yoel might not be able to fight. We will see. Also, huge news coming from more UFC title fights in the future. It looks like at UFC 228 in Dallas, we're going to see Tyron Woodley. take on Darren Till. This being floated out there, you know, I didn't want to talk about it before because things were just kind of tentative. We didn't know if Woodley was going to take the fight or not, but now it appears official that Tyron Woodley is going to fight Darren Till at UFC 228 in Dallas. And Colby Covington, I guess, if the media outlets are correct, will be in the same role that Tony Ferguson was at UFC 223. That he will be the interim champion up until the fight starts between Till and Woodley. And once that fight starts, he will lose his belt, his interim belt, like Ferguson did. Very captivating stuff. You know, we have Ariel Helwani saying just 9 hours ago, earlier this Tuesday evening, quote, "There's a fascinating trend in MMA lately of announcing fights before they are signed or even being close to finalized." So we were going to send this episode out, but there were just a ton of things that went down, including, you know, those two big UFC 230 potential matchups between Weidman and Rockhold, between Yoel Romero and Paulo Costa. You have Derek Brunson calling Izzy Adesanya out for UFC 230. That would be fun. Lots of stuff working down. We appreciate you listening. We will be back tomorrow soon for a UFC Calgary preview. And until then, we're gone.